fillings in your mouth. What you don't know is they're not really silver. They're almost 50% mercury, and they're venting mercury, which is one of the most toxic substances in the world, into your body and into your brain every time you get anything hot and every time you chew. And this has been demonstrated by filling up the teeth in sheep and all sorts of things. But I'm going to let Dr. Haley tell you this incredible story. He's a professor at the University of Kentucky. Until recently, he was in charge of the department there. He's doing research on the toxic effect of mercury on brain connection to Alzheimer's disease. Dr. Haley, thank you so very much for being with us.
My pleasure, Stan.
Well, why don't you tell us a little bit about how it was that you got involved in this? Because, of course, you know, the idea that a chemistry professor would be interested in Alzheimer's disease, that's a little out of field, isn't it?
Well, I think there are a lot of chemistry professors that, you know, have a biological bent, like myself, that get, you know, that do work in what you might call biological or neurological areas because, you know, throughout history, most of the advances in biology and medicine have been made by chemists who developed an interest in biology and started reading it because they truly understand, you know, the reactions and the mechanisms of how things happen. And, you know, essentially that's what happened with me. I developed a technology that allows one to detect major differences between normal tissue and that same tissue after it's diseased. And we did a study on Alzheimer's disease with one of my graduate students. And what we found several aberrancies, just marked things that were routinely wrong in the AD brain versus age-matched control. And where we got into trouble with our funding agencies and everyone else was that we found out what caused it, or what would cause it, if we added it to normal brain or exposed it to rats in the form of vapor, and that's mercury. And it's mercury and only mercury that will absolutely mimic the aberrant biochemistry you see in an Alzheimer's disease brain. Or if you expose a rat to mercury vapor, he will develop the same lesions that you see in an Alzheimer's disease brain.
Now, apparently that isn't very popular with certain very powerful people working with many of these large grants from government.
It's not popular with them at all because if you, you know, look, there's a lot of money to be made treating Alzheimer's disease, to develop a pill to keep a person sedated or, you know, even try to keep them normal. There's no money to be made by telling people, decrease your exposure to mercury. And the fallout of this, and no one was more shocked than me, you know, after I published my paper showing that mercury mimicked the same effects we saw in Alzheimer's disease, I was asked to give a talk at the International Academy of Oral and Medical Toxicology. And I thought these folks were toxicologists, but what they were a group of dentists and physicians who were convinced that mercury had caused many of the illnesses that their patients had, and they were working to try and get the government to, you know, decrease or at least evaluate the toxic level of mercury being, excreted daily into the human body from dental amalgams or the mercury fillings. They like to call them silver, but they're mercury. And I didn't believe these people at first. I didn't believe that the FDA or the ADA, either one, would stoop so low not to evaluate and allow something toxic to be placed in the mouths of all Americans without warning. Now, what your listeners need to know is that using chemicals...
Hold that thought for right there. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay. Our guest this afternoon is Boyd Haley. Professor Haley is a professor of chemistry at the University of Kentucky, and he started out analyzing what produced Alzheimer's. They found that if you exposed rats to this mercury fumes, they developed the same lesions you'd find in Alzheimer's disease. And with all sorts of experiments, he came to be firmly convinced that Alzheimer's disease was directly related to mercury exposure. Well, then, of course, he is invited to appear before a group of dentists talking about toxicology. He thought that they were toxicologists, but it turned out they were dentists who were concerned that the practice of dentistry is actually poisoning the American people. So I'm going to let you pick up the story there, Dr. Haley.
Well, when I was at that meeting, those gentlemen, I had three amalgam fillings in my mouth, and the dentists there were giving demonstrations of measuring mercury in the mouths of people with dental amalgams, and the inability to find it in the mouths of people who didn't have amalgam fillings. And they had me do it. They said, well, here, you do it. You test it.
And there are certain meters that will actually do this, aren't there?
Right. Well, they use the same meter, and I since then teach a class called Mercury Science and Politics to some of the freshmen at the University of Kentucky, and we use the University of Kentucky mercury detector, which our OSHA office uses to shut down our labs if we break a thermometer. I mean, they come in and analyze it, and what I can tell you is that the level that we find in the mouths of most people with amalgam fillings is high enough that if their mouth were a room in the chemistry building at the University of Kentucky, we'd have to evacuate it.
And I think it's so interesting that we've taken the mercury out of thermometers because it's potentially dangerous to people. We've taken the mercury out of sphygmomanometers, the blood pressure apparatus that I was trained with, because it's potentially dangerous to people. We're concerned about people eating fish because it has mercury in it, and yet we regularly put it into people's mouths. Every day across America, thousands of people get mercury fillings that are venting these mercury vapors. Now, you were actually able to measure these mercury vapors in your own mouth?
Yes, easily. And in the mouths of anybody else. And my wife had 15 amalgam fillings at that time. And we've had them all removed. But it's very easy. And in the class, you know, you can train... You can train a lay person to do that. These vapor analyzers are very easy to use. But worse than that, you can use a technique where you turn the light on.
Hold that thought right there, and we'll be back in just a moment right here. Well, Dr. Stan and Dr. Haley is talking about these meters that you can actually, if you know how to use them, you can actually measure the mercury in the mouth of somebody who has mercury fillings, and you won't find it in the mouth of people who don't. And those mercury vapors are absorbed in the mucous membrane and then get into the nerves and go right into the brain and begin doing their damage. So you pick up the story there, Dr. Haley.
Well, there's also technology, where you use a mercury lamp. This is that blue lamp that a lot of people see that, you know, it picks up fluorescence. You'll see it in the crime movies and stuff like that. And if you put a fluorescent screen up, which is just a thin layer chromatography sheet that's commonly found in chemistry, turn out all the room light in the dark, get it dark, and then turn on a mercury vapor lamp and shine it on a tooth containing an amalgam filling, you can see the mercury vapors emitting from it like smoke from a cigarette. And we've given that demonstration to the FDA. We've shown them as a mercury vapor sniffer put into that vapor stream proves that it's mercury. We have put amalgam fillings, in sealed containers, left it there for 24 hours and then measured the amount of mercury. And we find out that the amount of mercury is many, many times, hundreds of times higher than what the American Dental Association spokespersons claim that it is, which they estimate. They never measure it directly. See, they always estimate it because if they said, we know it's this much, we could go after them. But they can use what I call weasel words. It's just a little bit or a tiny bit. And they're right, but a tiny bit of mercury is extremely toxic. But we demonstrated that in front of a congressional committee with the chairman, with the FDA representative there. And when Dan Burton, Congressman Burton from Indiana, pressed him, he admitted that the FDA had never, ever tested the safety of amalgam fillings. And what they did is they took the word of the ADA and the mercury manufacturers that amalgams were safe. Now, isn't it amazing that when you look at the data sheet, the safety materials safety data sheet that's sent in to the dentist with amalgam fillings, it states that mercury is extremely neurotoxic and shouldn't be touched or anything else. But it's safe when you put it in the human mouth.
Don't they actually have to have special traps or other things? They're not supposed to flush that mercury down the sewer line, after they take it out of people's mouths? What do they do with the mercury they take out?
If they can trap it, and they're supposed to anymore, if they trap it and they get it in collectors, they put it in a sealed container under liquid glycerin with a reducing agent, and they have it picked up as a toxic waste. They have to pay to have it disposed of. If you throw it out in the trash, you are breaking Environmental Protection Agency laws.
Well, it's all right to put it in the mouth, you just don't dare throw it into the trash. So what's wrong with this picture? It's almost like organized insanity.
Well, I think I'm very much an American, and I think we have one of the best forms of government than anyone could possibly you know, generate. But there are weaknesses in every form. And in the form of government we have, when you put all the power in the hands of a central agency such as the Food and Drug Administration or the Center of Disease Control, then you have bureaucrats who aren't responsible or don't feel any responsibility to anyone. And certain of those bureaucrats can control certain sections of a big agency like the FDA, because I really think that the bulk of the FDA and the bulk of the CDC do a good job. But there are certain subgroups in there that, you know, want to use mercury or have used mercury, and when they make a mistake, they're never going to admit it, and they are under the control of economic interests, and they work mainly to protect the industries that select and put people in those positions, and they care less about the American public.
And that's really a rather frightening thing. Now, would you like to tell a little bit about this smoking tooth? I mean, you actually have pictures of that, and you can see them up on the Internet. What is the smoking tooth? What is it? And that's certainly, more than anything else, convince people of what we're talking about.
Right. Well, that's something, you know, I didn't invent it, but I knew all about it, because if you take chemistry, with the right school, the one thing they try to teach you a concept about the absorbance of light by the different chemical type compounds. And one of the things they'll do, they'll say a mercury vapor lamp, that's where you run electricity through a mercury vapor and it gives off a photon, that photon is most likely to be absorbed by another mercury atom. And if it's cold, that's not like that. So that vapor you see coming off is mercury gas. And it's easy to see with this technology. It's very straightforward, well-documented chemistry. It's not black magic or a trick at all.
And I think that you can actually see this on the uninformed consent website, yeah. You can see that on a video we have called Mercury of Slow Death, and they've actually just taken a tooth out and they're holding it in a pair of forceps, and you can actually see they teeter to about 105 degrees, which is about what you'd get when you took a cup of coffee and hot coffee, and you can just see the vapors venting. Now, haven't they actually done this with animals, actually fill their teeth with mercury, and what happened?
Well, this was work done at the University of Calgary. I would point out again to the people, our government is very reluctant to fund any research that shows that mercury used in dentistry or medicine in the United States is harmful. I think it's because of some control and some worries about the insurance companies that they may have to pay to have the American people put back on track. But in Calgary, University of Calgary, they put radioactive mercury in amalgam fillings and put the fillings in both sheep and monkey, and they allowed them to stay in there for a few weeks, and then they sacrificed euthanized the animals and removed the teeth, and then measured where the radioactive mercury had spread, and it had spread throughout the body. The highest concentrations were in the jawbone, and then there were very high concentrations in the kidney, liver, and brain, which are organs that we know are dramatically affected by mercury exposure.
All right.
So there's no doubt that the mercury comes out of vapor and spreads throughout the body.
Well, it's my understanding that other countries have done the work. And for instance, Sweden provides free dental care and free health care, but Sweden will not pay for mercury fillings because they know how toxic they are. How come they're so much smarter in Sweden than we are here?
Well, I don't know that they're any smarter. It's just that their government agencies aren't controlled by economic interest, nor are there, or the people who put the amalgam fillings in their mouth, since it's a socialized medicine, they're not going to be sued. Where in this country, I think the dentists who are American Dental Association dentists, and especially the American Dental Association administrative staff itself, are very concerned about lawsuits once people find out how much damage has been done to them by a product that they tout as totally safe, which can be easily proven wrong by just any group of scientists. You know, very little high school chemistry teachers can show you that they're not safe.
All right, can you speak up just a little louder? We seem to have something happened right
sorry.
There, and we seem to be fading a little bit. Right now, let's just talk a little bit about what does this actually do to the brain? Haven't they actually done experiments to show how devastating these mercury vapors are on nerve cells?
Yes, they have, and from every level of experiment, no one has done an experiment with mercury or exposing brain or neurological tissues or animals to mercury without finding them to have some sort of neurological deficit. The only people who say they're safe are theory papers written by pro-amalgam dentists. The research throughout history has shown that mercury is extremely toxic. And let's put it this way. You know, you don't have to agree with me that mercury causes Alzheimer's disease. But you cannot argue with me, because the science is totally on my side, that mercury affects the same biological systems, the same proteins, as are affected in Alzheimer's disease. So if you want to think that having amalgam fillings in your mouth giving you a constant supply of mercury for 30, 40, or 50 years wouldn't push these people who do get Alzheimer's disease across that thin red line into dementia faster, I think then you are making a stupid argument. I mean, an argument that cannot be based on anything. So we know that the vast or a huge percentage of our population who live past 80 are going to suffer from dementia.
Well, we know that certainly Alzheimer's disease is really on the rise across America, isn't it?
Yes, it is, and the reason is because the baby boomers were the first generation that where most of the kids received amalgam fillings to a large extent. Before World War II, the bulk of the population that they had caries, the teeth were just extracted, not filled. Unless you lived someplace where there was a good economy and a lot of active medicine, which a lot of people before 1940 didn't live in those kind of places. We were an agrarian society, and most people had their teeth pulled. So the real experiment now is, and the reason you're seeing a big increase is, these baby boomers with a larger number of amalgam fillings in their mouth are the ones that are now coming into the age where, you know, their body is not very well, very able to protect them from the vapors they've been breathing for many years.
All right. Well, of course, I remember when I was taking my training, and that was back in the 1950s, and we had a professor there who'd actually trained at the Mayo Clinic, and certainly 20 or 30 years before that, when he was there, and this would have been, the 1930s or so, well, they'd have people come in with all sorts of chronic illnesses. They'd pull out their teeth, and a lot of them got better. I think that probably nobody realized that, at least in some of these instances, they were getting rid of the mercury toxicity. They really didn't understand. They just knew that empirically, sometimes people, certainly got dramatically better. Now, I'm not suggesting we pull everybody's teeth, but certainly you can get the mercury out of your fillings, but the problem is you have to go to a dentist who knows what he's doing. And, you know, most dentists really are under pressure not to do that, aren't they, Professor Haley?
Well, they can lose their license. I'm the scientific consultant for Consumer Dental Choice, and we're just telling dentists, you know, if people want to put mercury in their mouth, fine, but you have to warn people. I mean, there's this, informed consent. If you're going to put a toxic metal in someone's mouth, you should be required to tell them that. And like you say, in Sweden, that government is not crazy, and it doesn't like throwing its money away. It not only will not pay to have amalgams placed, it will pay their population to have their amalgam fillings replaced with ceramic fillings, because they think they'll make the people healthier. And that's what we want, a healthier population. And getting safe amalgam, safe fillings, and getting rid of mercury in our mouth is one of the ways to do that.
Well, I certainly agree with you. We're going to be back here in just a moment with Professor Boyd Haley as we explore what's going on in America. And people say this couldn't be true, because it was. My dentist, who is a good man, would not be putting the mercury fillings in my mouth. The trouble is, your dentist probably doesn't know. The scientific studies are there, but he doesn't read them. He believes what he's told, and of course, if he speaks out, he's going to come under tremendous pressure. And you have to ask yourself, why would anybody be putting pressure on people who are trying to save human lives? This is a fascinating four-tape set, Genocide. And one of the tapes is an interview with a Dr. Dinigan, who heard back in 1969 actually a talk given by Dr. Day, who would later become the president of Planned Parenthood. And Dr. Day laid out the whole plan for America: the fact there are too many people, the fact that we're going to have to create new diseases, the fact that we're going to have to conceal some of the very obvious treatments for cancer, because people are going to have to die of something. They might as well tie up cancer. An incredible interview, and a series of other interviews that will go into the background of what is happening in America, why new diseases are cropping up all the time. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR for copies of our four-tape set, Genocide. It's vitally important that you help us to get this message out across America, because without knowledge, my people perish. America, our values, our future are under attack today.
This is health journalist Bill Sardi. A secret of healthy aging was recently found among people who have lived unusually long, healthy lives. The longest-lived woman, Jean Calment of France, who lived 122 years, and man, Antonio Todd of the Italian Isle of Sardinia, who lived 115 years, as well as the Queen Mother of England, who lived 100 years, outliving one of her daughters by 3 decades, was their daily consumption of red wine. But health authorities have been reticent to recommend an alcoholic beverage to the public at large until now. Longevinex is the world's first stabilized French red wine extract in a pill, without the calories and without the alcohol or sulfite preservatives. One Longevinex capsule provides the red wine molecules found in 5 glasses of the best red wine. Call 866-405-4000 to order Longevinex. It's a revolutionary dietary supplement. 866-405-4000.
Hi, this is Dr. Tony Thierry. Are you one of the many people who take vitamin supplements? Do you take handfuls of pills each day to increase energy, reduce your pain, or improve your overall health? Now there is a better way to get the vitamins and minerals your body needs in a delicious-tasting whole food liquid supplement, Body Balance. Body Balance contains 121 essential vitamins and minerals and is made from only organic and natural sources. Developed by doctors, Body Balance was originally available only through healthcare professionals. Now this incredible whole food liquid supplement can be delivered directly to your home. Body Balance offers an extremely effective method to feed your body towards wellness, and we're confident you'll love the difference your body feels. To order your Body Balance, call me directly at 1-800-768-9763 and try it risk-free for 45 days. Again, that's 1-800-768-9763 or online at healthyfoundations.net.
In the last 3 years, gold and silver have been quietly attracting the attention of the smart money investor. And that's with no small wonder when you consider that in those last 3 years, gold has risen over 50% and silver has nearly doubled. So, are you in profit yet? You might think so if you bought gold or silver coins in the last 3 years. And true enough, some coins have increased by as much as 70%. So how do you know how much your portfolio has gained or lost? With a quick call to the asset management professionals at Colonial Resources. 1-800-685-4042. Colonial Resources will give you current market quotes on your gold or silver bullion and collector coins. If you're ready to sell, Colonial pays higher prices for your coins than almost anyone in the industry. And if you doubt that, call the company that sold them to you and ask what they'd buy them for, and then call us. To find out where you stand in the rapidly changing precious metals market, call Colonial Resources today, toll free. 1-800-685-4042. That's 800-685-4042.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here. Our guest this afternoon is Dr. Boyd Haley. He's a professor of chemistry back at the University of Kentucky. We're talking about, the terribly toxic effect that we find from dental fillings, from not amalgam, but mercury fillings. Aren't these just almost half mercury, Professor Haley?
They're almost exactly half mercury.
All right, now, what about other countries? What do they do in Japan? What do they do in other countries of Europe? Do you have any idea?
Yes, I do. Most of the countries in Europe and even Canada have severe restrictions. I mean, going from Sweden, which says you can't place them at all, we won't pay to have them placed, and we'll pay to have them removed from your body. Norway and Finland and a lot of the Scandinavian countries have fallen into that category. Most of the countries have laws saying you can't place them in the mouths of women who are going to be of childbearing age or in children. Places like Switzerland and Japan don't teach the placement of amalgam fillings in their dental schools anymore.
They don't teach it in dental schools, huh?
No.
All right, so there are lots of the other places in the country are far ahead of what's going on here. Here in the United States, why we have a very rapidly growing incidence of Alzheimer's disease, as well as many other diseases, heart disease and diabetes and cancer, and of course the government says, oh shucks, we don't have any idea why it's happening. It must be McDonald's fault or the Colonel's fault or something like that, or it's just the unhealthy way we live, but they refuse to investigate this. Now, there seems to be tremendous opposition to doing research in this, isn't there?
Yes, there is. For example, there was a paper published in 1999 in the American College of Cardiovascular Surgery, I think. May have that journal name not exactly right, but it came from Switzerland and Italian sciences. And what they reported was that people who die of idiopathic dilated cardiomyopathy, and that's the disease where you have the young athletes that drop during training, or the pro athletes that drop during training, that are very healthy otherwise, and it is a major cause of the requirement of heart transplants. They found out that those people had 22,000 times higher level of mercury in their heart tissue than did people who died of other forms of cardiovascular disease.
22,000 times?
That's right.
What sort of response did they get to that?
Well, that has been totally ignored by the National Institutes of Health. There hasn't been one request for a proposal to find out whether these people were right or wrong. And I can tell you they're right, because it's easy to measure mercury levels in heart tissue, especially when it's that high. If it were even a tenth that high, it would be something we should be concerned about. But the National Institutes of Health has absolutely ignored this, and yet they spend millions of dollars trying to say how much a tuna fish sandwich might hurt you. And, you know, the people who die of this are usually inner-city black kids or kids in the Midwest. I mean, they're not people that are eating shark or seafood. And they just ignore this totally. And, if you go to NIH, you can go to NIH and get on their website. It's called CRISP, Database System. And you can see where the money is being spent on research in the United States. You can look up any type of grant you want that has ever been funded. But what you will fail to find is any grant studying the toxicity of mercury from dental amalgams or from any other source other than fish. And if you do find one, you will find out that it was given to a dental school who are not neurologists, who are not chemists, who are not biochemists, and that they will have published almost nothing from the millions of dollars that we've given to them to look at this issue. It is really, in my opinion, I'm not a person that goes around saying they're, you know, the government's trying to take away our rights all the time. I think I'm a fairly stable person in that regard. But this is one thing I just have to say, that if you don't think there's not a cover-up going on, you've got to have your head stuck in the sand.
And certainly they will not put the money out to do the research to find out if this is really harmful. And all of the other evidence shows it is. And so many of the other countries are simply not allowing them to poison their population. You have to ask yourself, why would they allow that here? Or maybe of course certainly the pressure from the American Dental Association. Now my understanding is that at one time, the original Dental Association 100 years ago, you couldn't get into it if you put in mercury fillings. Did you ever heard that?
Yes, you had. It was called the American College of Dental Surgeons, and to be a member, you had to sign a note saying that you would not place mercury fillings in the mouths of your patients, because at that time, that was 1830. And before. And at that time, they knew that mercury in the mouth in the form of these fillings could cause neurological diseases.
And of course, we always had that phrase, he was mad as a hatter. Why? Because hatters are exposed to mercury. And of course, you can't have thermometers now with mercury in them because it's too toxic. You can't have sphygmomanometers. You can't get free mercury anyplace, but we can put it in your mouth. We're going to be right back here in just a moment with Dr. Boyd Haley. But if there's any one tape that you should hear, it's my talk on geopolitics, an untold story that is vitally important if America is to survive as a free nation. It goes into the background of the forces that have created the wars of the 20th century, the Boer War, the First World War, the Second World War, Korea, Vietnam. We go into the ideological and the spiritual battle behind the forces that have moved America from crisis to crisis and are currently undermining the very fabric of our society. That number again, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and the tape, Geopolitics. It is vitally important that you help us to get this message out across America, because without knowledge, my people perish. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR for copies of my talk on geopolitics.
Hi. Hi, this is Joyce Riley, and most of you now know why so many people agree that Miracle 2 soap really is a miracle. Miracle 2 products are now being used by farmers and ranchers to increase their yield. Mechanics and machinists use it in their shops. Chiropractors and physicians are using Miracle 2, and the uses are simply too numerous to mention. Dr. Stan and the folks at Radio Liberty knew right away that the listeners would benefit tremendously by using Miracle 2 products. You can enjoy the benefits of Miracle 2 and help Radio Liberty continue to broadcast Dr. Stan's message by calling 800-544-8927 to order your Miracle 2 today. After you've tried Miracle 2 around the house, you'll probably do just what so many others have done. Get rid of all those toxic cleaners and chemicals under your sink. Call Radio Liberty and order your Miracle 2 today. 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927. Dr. Stan Monteith and so many listeners know that Miracle 2 soap isn't just soap. It's a miracle.
Leading-edge dentists know the profound effect dental materials and procedures have on the health of the entire body. If you've been searching for a holistic trained dentist who can safely treat you, look no further. Dr. David Biles has been a leader in the Santa Cruz dental community for nearly 20 years. He built a solid reputation providing exceptionally high-quality cosmetic and restorative dental care long before learning the very real hazards of common dental practices. Now, as a faculty member of the Institute of Natural Dentistry, Dr. Biles has begun lecturing nationally to other dentists on alternative and complementary dental care. On request, Dr. Biles will safely remove toxic dental materials from your mouth while substituting them with safe, non-allergenic restorations. Call Dr. Biles today and take the next step to improve your health. With sedation and nitrous oxide available, Dr. Biles can help even the most anxious patients. Call 423-0121 and schedule a visit now. That's 423-0121.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest this afternoon is Professor Boyd Haley from the University of Kentucky. Our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Well, Professor Haley, of course, we've been very, very concerned for some time by the fact that they've been putting toxic amounts of mercury into the vaccines that they were giving to newborns in the mercury in the nurseries, up to 85 to 87 times the maximum amount allowed by the EPA given to this child with an immature immune system. And of course, apparently they were told to take the mercury out of the vaccines, but probably they were until 2003. What about the childhood vaccines? Have you had a chance to check any of these to see if there may still be some mercury in them?
Well, they've taken it out, or they recommended that it be removed in 1999. These things, some of them have a very long shelf life, and they're using some of these clinics, you know, even sometimes past their shelf life. And so about 2002, we started seeing a drop, you know, where most of the vaccinations given were not containing thimerosal anymore. But then the CDC this last year came out and recommended that we give the flu vaccine to six-month-old babies that contain thimerosal as a preservative. Now, if you went by the EPA safety standard, which was determined on adolescents eating fish in the Faroe Islands, they say that you shouldn't expose anyone to more than a tenth of a microgram per kilogram body weight per day. Now, you know, just putting a little bit of chemistry calculations to that, that means that six-month-old baby would have to weigh 275 pounds to take that vaccination safely, according to EPA standards.
There are not very many children that are that heavy at that age. But so obviously, the CDC hasn't thought this through very well, but they're endangering the lives of these children whose parents are doing what they're told to. Oh, you've got a six-month-old child, you love them, get an influenza shot with a full dose of toxic mercury in it.
Right. I was raised on a farm, a dairy farm. We vaccinate our animals. I have a farm now. I mean, I have a lot of animals. I love animals. I vaccinate my animals. I vaccinate my children. I believe in vaccines, but I believe in safe vaccines. And what I think we need to do now is to go after our politicians and elect politicians that will guarantee us that they will develop and change the system in the CDC where safety of the vaccine is as important as compliance or getting them down. The CDC is very good at making sure everyone gets vaccinated because they can mandate it. They can pass regulations that you can't send your kids to school unless you take the force of vaccines. But you can't force the CDC to do safety studies. And they have never done any safety studies on this influenza vaccine containing some aerosol, giving it to a six-month-old child. As a matter of fact, every piece of evidence out there says you should not do it. Because remember, you're injecting this into a child. And in 1977, there was a report that came out of a Toronto hospital where they had an unexpected death of 10 of 13 children that had umbilical cord infections that they treated at that hospital. They did a retrospective study because they were confused about what was happening, and what they found out, that putting thimerosal in the form of mercurochromium methylate on the umbilical cord externally got enough mercury into the bodies of these infants to kill them. That's the reason that if your listeners are old enough, they will know that red material you used to paint on your cuts and wounds when you were a little kid, you know, disappeared in 1978 because the FDA took it off because they decided it was too dangerous as a topical applicant for kids and people. And yet another aspect of the FDA and the CDC decided it was safe to inject into a baby on the day he is born.
So it's too toxic to put on the skin or the umbilical cord, or too toxic to put on the skin, but it's all right to inject. Doesn't quite make sense. Let's go to Reese, who's calling from Salinas. Hi, Reese. How are you? Reese, are you there? Reese, are you there? Well, we seem to be having trouble getting Reese on. Let's try. Who do we have here? Who do we have? Is this Reese?
Yes, it is.
All right, fine. You have a question.
My question is mercury, the toxins in mercury, is that related at all to fibromyalgia and the chronic fatigue and the candida problems?
All right. Do you have any knowledge at all about that, Professor Haley?
Reese
wants to know if there's any relationship to chronic fatigue, fibromyalgia, or candidiasis.
Yes.
I don't know about the candidiasis, whether or not it's related to that. The fibromyalgia and muscle soreness, mercury, when it gets into your body, is a general metabolic toxin. It decreases your ability to make ATP. It decreases the ability of your blood to carry oxygen. And if it inhibits one of the major sites of inhibition in a cell by mercury, is the pyruvate dehydrogenase complex. And that keeps you from using pyruvate through the citric acid cycle to make energy. That's the reason you're low on energy. And yet, it shuffles that pyruvate off to lactate. It forms lactate instead of going into the citric acid cycle, and lactate is what builds up and causes sore muscles. There's every reason to believe that, exposure to mercury could cause fibromyalgia or muscle aching like you would get, under other situations also.
Well, Professor Haley, have you ever seen any statistics on the incidence of chronic fatigue in dental technicians? Is there any increase in them? Because they get an awful lot of exposure to mercury.
I haven't read any. I don't know if anyone's ever done any studies on them.
All right, but I happen to know at least of a couple. But of course, that's just a couple of people. I know other things that apparently dental technicians have a much higher rate of miscarriage and difficulty carrying a pregnancy to term, presumably, of course, because of the mercury contact. Reese, is there anything else you want to know?
My other question was, I've got, a head full of fillings from my childhood, and am I to understand that those fillings could be still toxic? I'm 47 years old now. Could I still be suffering from toxic results of childhood cavities?
Not cavities, but mercury.
Or mercury, correct.
Well, certainly. If you consider that one of your jaw teeth probably has, the fillings will probably weigh a gram. That's 500,000 micrograms. If it gave off 5 micrograms a day, that would be enough for 273 years before all the mercury would be out. And
wow.
One of the videos, the one on uninformed consent, if you look at it, that tooth was 50 years old. That amalgam filling is 50 years old and still emitting mercury vapor. They emit mercury vapor way past the lifespan of a human being.
All right, I hope that answers your questions, Reese.
It does. Thank you, Dr. Stan.
Thank you so very much. Mm-hmm. Okay, fine, that was Reese. And, of course, our guest today is Professor Boyd Haler. We're talking about the toxic effect of fillings, and there are certain states in the union when, you know, if a dentist comes out and says this publicly, he'll lose his license. Now, here in California, you can actually, fortunately, here in California, despite the fact that sometimes there are people in the legislature that I disagree with, at least they can talk about that here in California without getting any trouble. Let's go to Scott, who's calling us from Hollister. Hi, Scott. How are you doing?
Good, Dr. Stan. Thank you for taking my call. Sir, I was wondering, I tuned into the show late, but I was wondering if you could elaborate. I've heard that some of these mercury fillings causes premature puberty as low as 8 years old in adolescence. Is that, I was wondering if you can elaborate a little bit more on that.
All right. Did you get the question, Professor Haley?
No, I heard it, but I don't know of any data concerning that. I mean, I have no response to that.
Scott, I think that we know that fluoride will do that, and water fluoridation, and that fluoride actually has been shown in scientific studies and to increase adolescence, but I've never heard anything about mercury doing it, okay?
Okay, thank you very much, sir.
Thank you so much, and our telephone number again is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. And what we're talking about, of course, is the mercury that they've been putting into our vaccines, the mercury that they've been, and really it is still in the, they see it's all out of the childhood vaccines, but they don't tell you that they leave it in the diphtheria tetanus vaccine that people get. They leave it in the influenza vaccines and a fair number of vaccines. Do you know which vaccines it is still in, Dr. Haley?
Well, just about all of the adult vaccines that do not contain a live virus, and like the adult flu vaccine. And, you know, and the thing that's really concerning to me is, number one, they've never proven the effectiveness of the flu vaccine for the older people. There have been publications saying they're from NIH, I mean, not from any wild group, saying the flu vaccine is just totally ineffective in the older population. And yet, these are the people that have the lower levels of glutathione that protects you from mercury toxicity because of their age. And we encourage all these people to run up and get a flu vaccination. Very few of our elderly weigh 275 pounds either, and I put them in one of the more sensitive categories for mercury toxicity. They're not they don't have the energy level that it takes to excrete that mercury. And mercury is a retention toxicity. It builds up in the body, and the less capable you are, either by genetics or by age or by illness, to get rid of that mercury, the more dramatic effect the mercury is going to have on your health.
Well, now what about the children who get their full dose of vaccinations, or at least they had them when they were putting the mercury in the vaccine? So they got these high levels, but they apparently did not have any autism or speech or reading or other behavioral abnormalities. You know, they just got these high levels of mercury. Are those high levels of mercury retained in the brain, or are they gradually excreted?
Well, if mercury gets in your brain, there are compartments in there that last, you know, some people estimate 27 years. There's a fraction of it that goes out within 6 months. But the brain retains mercury longer than any other tissue. Now, the children that got, you know, where we saw the rate of autism, especially, if, you know, using the California data, it started going up dramatically, and the rise corresponded to the level of mercury exposure these children got as we increased the mandated number of vaccines that they should get. Since they've taken the thimerosal out, and the people of California become educated on this process, the rate of autism in California, according to California state data, has first leveled off and peaked in 2002 and appears to be dropping in, you know, the last 2 to 3 years. And with this next 2 or 3 years will really tell us whether we're having a major effect on getting the thimerosal out of the vaccine.
But, of course, they don't want the American people to know that, because, after all, if it turned out that there was a dramatic drop after the thimerosal was taken out, maybe that's why they certainly want to keep putting it in the vaccines, at least for the until the kids to get it at 6 months, because they don't want too precipitous a drop. Why, we might quit trusting them. I hate to sound skeptical, but I have dealt with people at the CDC. I've been to the CDC, and I will tell you that it's a very, very frightening place.
Well, I think they're about to get their heads handed to them.
Well, I certainly hope so.
Well, there's research coming out of Europe. You see, the five people, along with myself and others, the five people that had NIH funding and testified that the Marisol was very likely causal, you know, with regard to autism, or at least a good candidate, that had NIH funding in the 2004 committee, all five of them lost their NIH funding.
And so
I lost mine a long time ago.
Of course, what that is punishment for telling the truth. Let's go to Bill, who's calling from Missouri. Hi, Bill. Does he have a question?
Oh, Dr. Stan. Yes. How do you find a reliable place in order to get these fillings, mercury fillings replaced? Somebody you can really trust to do that.
All right. Do you want to answer that, Dr. Haley?
Sure. You can go on a website, and it's called the International Academy of Oral and Medical Toxicology. And the website is www.iaomt.org. And this is the organization of dentists who take classes and actively fight against the use of amalgam fillings. And they are well trained in how to remove amalgam fillings and decreasing you from getting a bolus exposure.
That's IAOMT?
IAOMT.
Yes.
.org.
Right. If you get to, and they're in Orlando, Florida, and you can get them on the, I don't have their phone number right at my hands, but if you call there or if you contact them, they'll give you the list of the dentists in your area.
And you have to have a dentist who knows how to do it. And they have to put an inflatable dam in your throat, and they have to really, irrigate and irrigate and suck and suck and suck. Because the last thing you want to do is get those mercuries. And I will tell you, I had a mercury filling taken out recently, and when they took the dam down, you know, I was just laying there just comfortable, and all of a sudden, you know, I got this tremendous toxic reaction. Even though my dentist is excellent and is an expert on this, I mean, the tremendous impact of those mercury vapors on you affects every organ in your body. So you want to be very careful and go to the best dentist you can. And there's nothing more important than your health, Bill. Anything else, Bill?
Well, no, I just wondered where we could go.
Well, that's it. You go to that website. If you have problems, you give me a call off air, and we put you in touch with the people, okay?
Thank you very much.
God bless. Okay, yes. And of course, these are dentists that really, of course, taken the training. They have the facilities available, and you do not want to go to the general dentist because you can actually get mercury toxicity from getting your fillings taken out, can't you, Dr. Haley?
Yes, studies done in Sweden where they measured the blood mercury levels and urine levels of people before and after having amalgam fillings removed showed that it can go up as high as tenfold in your bloodstream. You definitely will get a bolus, and it will peak 3 days after you've had your amalgams removed because all the chips you swallow, you know, they're slowly removing, releasing mercury as they go through your intestinal system, and it takes, many days before it comes back down to the the level it was before you had the amalgams removed.
So I think it's really so vitally important. Well, we've got about 2 minutes. What is the message you would really like to leave with our listeners? And do you have a website they can go to?
Yes, we have one that contains a lot of information on mercury toxicity, and it's www.altcorp.com. It's for affinity labeling technologies. We don't do anything to make money off of amalgam fillings or removal of mercury. It's just that I got so upset when I found out about, you know, the cover-up that is primarily funded by the American Dental Association, that I started collecting all the scientific papers that were in the literature on mercury toxicity and placing them on this website. And so they can go there. But I would warn them, mine is kind of a heavy-duty scientific because it's to supply information to the dentists who are having their license attacked by American Dental Association state dental boards, you know, because they say amalgams are toxic. You know, they had a gag order on dentists, you know, and it was reversed in the federal court in Connecticut for Dr. Mark Briner, which said he's allowed, but only outside of his dental office. He can't tell someone in his dental office that amalgams are toxic, but he can write it and put it in the newspaper. That's his freedom of speech limitation.
We live in a world gone mad. There are only a few of us who know what's going on. Everybody thinks we're crazy. Professor Boyd Haley has been our guest, and I want to really thank you so very much for being with us again here and helping to educate our listeners across America what's really going on.
Well, thank you, and I think you're doing a great job, you know, telling them that this is common sense stuff. This isn't rocket science. They ought to know that there's a lot of effort here to try and protect somebody else's self-interest. And thank you, Stan, for what you're doing.
Well, if there's any one tape that you should hear, it's my talk on geopolitics, an untold story that is vitally important if America is to survive as a free nation. It goes into the background of the forces that have created the wars of the 20th century, the Boer War, the First World War, the Second World War, Korea, Vietnam. We go into the ideological and the spiritual battle behind the forces that have moved America from crisis to crisis and are currently undermining the very fabric of our society. That number again, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and the tape, Geopolitics. It is vitally important that you help us to get this message out across America, because without knowledge, my people perish. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR for copies of my talk on geopolitics.
Are you concerned about your child's future? Well, it starts with a sound education. VHM provides for that cornerstone of your child's future with a quality education founded on biblical principles. Our school sets high academic goals while developing moral standards. From preschool through eighth grade, your child is taught by experienced and credentialed teachers in all subjects, including our dynamic music program and state-of-the-art computer classes. Proverbs 22:6 says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." For over 50 years, VHM Christian School has provided peace of mind to parents knowing their children are receiving an excellent education in a loving environment. VHM is located at 427 Capitola Road Extension in Santa Cruz. Won't you call us today at 475-4762? That's VHM Christian School at 475-4762. Doesn't your child deserve a chance to try VHM?
Have you purchased or invested in gold and silver coins or bullion in the last several years? If so, you've most likely been taken advantage of. In a lot of cases, out and out lied to. There are several tricks of the trade in play in the precious metals and collector coin markets. This is especially true during a hot market. Although it doesn't take a savvy investor to avoid the pitfalls of unscrupulous coin and metals dealers, it does take some common sense and the knowledge of which questions to ask. The asset management professionals at Colonial Resources can arm you with a few simple questions to ask your current broker or coin dealer. To find out if you've been taken advantage of, or if you're thinking of investing, call Colonial Resources toll-free, 1-800-685-4042. The precious metals and collector coin markets are hot and definitely where the smart money is heading. But before you make a mistake that could cost you hundreds or even thousands of dollars, call the professionals at Colonial Resources. The call and the advice are free. 1-800-685-4042. That's 800-685-4042.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. I hope that many of you will want to get the information on mercury, because, of course, this is so toxic. And, of course, the mind you save could very well be your own or that of a loved one. First of all, there's the video. It's called Mercury, a Slow Death, and it actually shows you the smoking truth. It shows you some of the hearings that you're never going to see on C-SPAN or elsewhere, where, of course, the truth is brought out in these hearings and, of course, totally suppressed by the controlled media. Then we have four tape sets, interviews with various experts on mercury from various points of view. And then we have certainly the book. It's entitled Evidence of Harm. It's the story of thimerosal, and of course, here's a product that is so toxic, it's been outlawed by the government. You can't put it on the skin, but it's all right to inject into the child at 87 times the maximum lethal dose. How could you do anything that stupid unintentionally? And I would like to suggest, ladies and gentlemen, there are some people who are just wicked people. And when you understand that, you can begin to understand what's going on. We have a video. It's called None Dare Call It Genocide. It's simply me talking about the background, but it's really quite a good video, and we recommend it to you. None Dare Call It Genocide. We'll give you an excellent overview, but let me suggest the book Evidence of Harm by David Kirby, an excellent, very important book. Those two four-tape sets are excellent. And then, of course, the video, Mercury, a Slow Death. You need to understand how toxic this is, and then ask yourself, why would they be giving that to our children? Why would they leave that in the influenza vaccine they're giving to 6 months old? Why would we give it to the elderly when they do not have a sufficient immune response for it to work? Why would we give them something that is going to destroy their minds? Because Dr. Fudenberg's work, we know, and we'd be glad to send any of you the copy of his abstract from his webpage. If you call us at 1-800-544-8927, that's 1-800-544-8927. Dr. Fudenberg showed 1,000% in Alzheimer's disease in people who were foolish enough to do what they were told. You know, to take an influenza shot between age 60 and 65, 3 or 4, over a 5-year period, 1,000% increase in Alzheimer's disease. Why would you do that? Why? Because people with Alzheimer's disease die before long. They don't live as long as the others, and there are too many people in the world. And when you understand, for instance, read Jacques Cousteau. We have that. We'll send that to you. Where he talks about the necessity of eliminating 350,000 people a day. The NSSM, which is the basis of America's foreign policy, National Security Study Memorandum, how we have to control population throughout the world. There are people who have a different agenda. If you haven't read my Population Control Agenda monograph, you need to get it. If you haven't seen the video or the four-tape set that we have on population control, you need to get it. One of the most incredible four-tape sets we have is the new Order of the Barbarians. That's the new Order of the Barbarians. Not the new Barbarians, but the new Order of the Barbarians. It's interviews with Dr. Dunnigan, who heard back in 1969 Dr. Richard Day, who would become the medical director of Planned Parenthood, talking about how there were too many people in the world, how they were going to create new diseases, how they were going to withhold treatments of cancer, how they were going to kill off countless millions of people. And you can get both the transcript and the four-tape set. If they're this evil in the world, why doesn't anybody tell us? You need to get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, to understand the dark forces that are out there, and then understand we're involved in a spiritual battle, being fought on a political, ideological, and cultural battlefield. And so we ask you to pray for America. We ask you to pray for revival. We ask you to pray for our leaders and our ministers, but please pray for my ministry of Radio Liberty for our provision and protection. Remember, we're having our annual conference on the 19th of November. We hope you can come. And we now have our programs now on another 16 or 17 stations. And if you can help us, we'd certainly appreciate it. So until tomorrow at the same time, may the Lord be with you.